we're in the afternoon and a couple of hours, so hopefully we'll get through it quickly enough. Folks, as you're used to in part of the chairperson's remarks, is like everyone, welcome to the meeting this afternoon. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussions of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to your microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before switching. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep the messaging to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging in the event that two councillors propose at the same time. The person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. I feel like I need to tell you where the exits are if there is an emergency there. So. All right, folks, we'll kick off. Is there any apologies to be recorded?
There's an apology from Councillor Savage and from Councillor Lewis, and Councillor McGuinness is running late.
Okay. Any further? Nope. Okay. Moving on then to item number two, which is declarations of interest. just want to seek the officer's guidance on item five, which is the SRA's allowances. Do members need to declare an interest in that, Dorina?
I suppose for the record, we can probably declare an
Members
holding
an SRA.
Okay. So that will cover members rather than having to individually do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other declarations of interest, members? Nope. Okay, moving on then to item number three, which is the revision of the efficiencies working group, and I'm going to hand over to Dorina on that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
You're breaking up a wee bit,
Dorina. Oh, apologies. Sorry, I am having difficulty today with my connection for some reason. Am I clear now?
Yep, you're good at the moment.
Okay, I'll be quick. In front of you then is a paper proposing a review of the efficiencies working group to be more strategically focused, to have more of an overarching oversight of all of the financial strategic matters of council, and to be concerned with the short, the medium and the long term on that. To act as a key conduit for all efficiency projects within council, and also in doing that we've looked at the membership of the efficiency working group. Previously concerns have been raised about you know, the membership being quite small. So I suppose members are being asked then at 3.1 to approve a reconstitution and renaming of the Efficiencies Working Group to be the Strategic Finance Working Group. It's proposed then that membership is on party strength, as outlined at point 2 of 3.1, and there is a separate transformation group currently sitting in neighbourhood services. The proposal is that that be stood down with the Strategic Finance Working Group taking on the role performed by this group. I do apologise, members, that the appendices referred to don't, they're certainly not appearing in my minute pad, they appear not to have been uploaded. But the Neighbourhood Services Transformation Group terms of reference that was there will show that the membership was on party strength of that as well. You'll see in that we are proposing then, I suppose, that the Strategic Finance Working Group will meet bi-monthly. There's a lot of work for this group to do. It does support this committee. Decisions will all come through to this committee. It is still a working group. And I would envisage that all members would be invited to attend, as we've always done, especially during the rate-setting process. So happy to take any comments or questions, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Dorina. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I know we discussed this briefly, just for comments, and I think it was maybe party leaders, or it could have been the last Efficiencies Working Group, but I'm fully for it. I was one of the people, along with, I think it was Councillor O'Hanlon, that had called for stronger membership on this group, because you get the strong membership when it comes into the rates setting process in October, November, December, and now we're into it earlier this year. And there's a lot of focus on it at that time of year, right up to February, and then after that, it sort of falls away. You do bits and pieces about efficiencies, you do bits and pieces about strategic projects, and not enough to get a whole oversight of the finances of the council going forward. So I think a longer-term approach will be welcome, so that we don't come to rates processes every year and talk about increasing the rates based on a longer term. And I know Councillor Enright has consistently raised increasing the rates base with, you know, wind energy and stuff like that there, but that this is the forum to discuss it. This is also the forum to discuss assets. It's the forum to discuss the transformation projects. So I also think that merging the neighbourhood services group is the right thing to do, because at the efficiencies, we're looking at efficiencies right across all directorates. So we're either going to get those minutes for noting and for the discussion, and it's just repetition, and it doesn't need to be repeated. So all transformation projects coming in under this umbrella will give us a clear way forward of where we need to go when we're talking about finances. So, yeah, I'm happy to propose.
Okay. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, happy to second, I suppose. Got a good look to it, down through it there over the last couple of days of that. Just based on Dorina, you were talking about membership based on party strength. Certainly in the last term, we had this maybe last year as well, in the last term where we had 13 Sinn Féin councillors and 13 SDLP councillors, and we both had two on working groups of that, it was definitely reflective of party strength within it. But now with Sinn Féin with 16 councillors and the SDLP with 10 or 11 or whatever it is, is it still reflective of the strength of the respective party to have two and two? Although, in fairness to Pete, in his last comments, he maybe talked about opening the membership up a wee bit and inviting more members on it. So if that was the case, that's going to make my comments null and void.
Can I come
go
back
ahead.
On
yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I suppose, Mara, the way I'm envisaging this is we congrip, so it's not decision-making. All decisions come to this committee. It supports this, but as you know, it does do a lot of work to support this committee. It's a big enough committee, as we know, and we do need this group in many respects. What I would envisage then is it'll always be open to other members, and I would actively encourage members to attend, especially during the rate setting process, because that has worked really well with us, having more voices. We need, however, in my view, in discussion with the existing members of this group, we need a core membership to come, to commit, to come, to attend, to have the discussions happening throughout the year. So I suppose, but it is important to note that they aren't decision making. It's this committee that makes the decisions. But to make it a meaningful group, we do need a core membership of members who are committed to coming and attending.
Happy enough, Clara?
Yeah, it didn't really answer my question. I never doubted that there should be a core. There should be a core group of councillors coming together to have discussions. That's not the point it was getting at all. It was talking about numbers. It was talking about political strength of parties within the group. And I wouldn't have brought it up, only you brought it up twice and said that it had to be reflective of membership based on party strength within the council. That's just where I was going. But look, there's no need for any further discussion on it. I just wanted it raised.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. Councillor Brown?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Broadly supportive of this. It seems grand. I just wanted to ask, Doreena, what's currently happened with the Strategic Projects Working Group? Now, obviously, there's a political decision made to remove Alliance and Independence from that grouping, but why wouldn't that grouping or that working group be included within the structure of this one, as it seems to touch on a lot of the same issues around transformation and on capital projects and so on, and obviously reports back to the SPNR committee as well. I'm just wondering why this wasn't seen as an umbrella group for that as well.
The SPNR committee, Councillor Brown, took a decision, I think it was probably just before Christmas, to stand down the Strategic Project Working Group and to stand up, if you like, then individual project boards that are attached to key strategic projects. So the one that is in operation currently is the Near East City Centre Regeneration Project Board. And so the Strategic Projects Working Group was stood down. I would have to check the dates, but I think it was around Christmas time or thereabouts.
Okay, fair enough. Grant, just to miss that.
All right, thank you, Patrick. Councillor Hanlon?
It's just a quick comment. Thanks, Chair, just in relation to what Pete was saying. It was quite notable when I first came on to the Efficiency Working Group that there was only the two of us there, and there wasn't much input. So it kind of gets quite diluted and muddy during the year then when other members start to come in, and it's sort of you're going back on yourself. So definitely welcome that this will be more of a solid committee or working group with better laid out terms of reference and stuff.
Okay, thank you, Una. Is all members in agreement then? Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Do we need parties to submit names into Sarah then, Doreena?
Yes, please. Yeah, that would be helpful, please.
If parties could inform Sarah of their representatives, please, as soon as possible. Okay, I'm going to move on then to item number 4, which is the Draft Disability Action Plan 2020-2023 and the Draft Equality Action Plan 2020-2023. I'm going to bring in Regina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of the report is to consider the consultation analysis and approve the Draft Disability Action Plan 2023 and the Draft Equality Action Plan 2023. We're obliged as an organisation to produce these plans, which detail how we will meet our disability and equality duties. And the plans are attached, as is the consultation that we undertook earlier this year. And the plans are attached, and they're very self-explanatory, and I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman. So the recommendation, please, is that members are asked to consider the consultation analysis and approve the Draft Disability Action Plan 2023 and the Draft Equality Action Plan 2023.
Okay, thank you very much, Regina. I have a proposer from Councillor Murray. I don't know, Bar, if you're looking in to talk on it or just
not really. Just as Regina said, it was all very self-explanatory. You got a good read through it, and fair play to everyone involved in writing up the draft action plan. So, yeah, happy to propose.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. I just need to check with you who is the seconder on your screen, because
I have Councillor Hanlon.
Okay, Councillor Hanlon's the seconder there. Then, The same question to yourself, Una, just happy to second or any
comment? Yeah, happy to second, concur with Councillor O'Mara.
Okay. Councillor Byrne, you do have a question, but Councillor Brown, you did have an S unless you have any comment or questions.
No, it's just a second.
Okay. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, as the two previous proposals on the second side, it is self-explanatory. Just one question on the diversity champions, because at the start of this council term, we nominated elected reps to become diversity champions, and I just don't see much coming out of it. If we can try and put a wee bit more meat on the bones in that, it is included in these reports. I know I was nominated for our group, be a diversity champion, but just haven't heard anything since it all started up. So maybe it's something that we can bring back to try and put more meat in the bones with it, but I think it's important that we're putting it into this report that we make an attempt to do something more meaningful around that.
Okay, thank you. I've noted that, Mr. Chairman.
Gareth seems to have fallen off the call. Oh, he's coming back now.
He's coming back in now,
yeah? Yeah, that's him now, yeah.
Sorry, folks, my connection all day hasn't been the best, so apologies about that. So I didn't hear Councillor Byrne's question unless it's been asked and answered.
Yeah, it's just the follow-up on diversity champions. It's noted by Regina.
Okay, apologies about that on my side, folks. All right, everyone's in agreement there then. Next item is item number 5, which is the SRA Alliance, and that's with yourself, Sarah.
Yeah, so basically the report as read is to agree the allocation of an outstanding SRA. In July 2019, it was agreed that the position on the party reps forum previously held by the Alliance and Independent Party wouldn't be held any longer. Therefore, the previously allocated SRA to that position was required to be reallocated. It previously arose during both council terms in 18-19 and 19-20, and two options had been considered at that stage. And in 2019-20, council had agreed to proceed with option A, and the allocated SRAs last year were allocated among the other positions that receive SRA payments. It was discussed at party reps, and their recommendation was that the outstanding SRA be allocated among those other positions that receive SRA payments, and that it's factored to the 1st of June 2020.
Okay, thank you, sir. Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And look, you know, there's obviously a political decision made around the exclusion of Alliance and Independence, and I'm quite clear in my thoughts on that, so I won't rehearse it here. But I, obviously, as the Alliance group leader, was included in the party representatives forum when it was under delegated authority or whatever during COVID, during the crisis. And I actually think it worked quite well as a forum to air thoughts and help the Chief Executive through that process. And I had a conversation with the chief executive following that. After things returned to, you know, relative normality, I suddenly found myself uninvited from those meetings, and I raised that with her and suggested that it might be more constructive to maintain a Alliance and or Independent presence in those meetings. Now, I was told that it would go back to the party representatives for discussion. Obviously, a decision hasn't taken place because it's not a decision-making body, but I haven't seen any minutes or recommendations come back out of it to SPNR or any other body. And I think whilst that decision is still being discussed and a decision hasn't been made on it, it would be premature to make a decision around SRAs for that potential position until a decision is made on whether Alliance and or Independent reps can have a representative on the party reps forum. So I would propose that we hold off on making the decision here today until the council takes a corporate decision on allowing Alliance / Independence back on.
Okay. Sir Dorina, can you come back on that point?
Yes. My understanding, Councillor Brown, is that the Chief Executive did bring your comments back to the Party Representatives Forum. My understanding is that there's no new decision to be taken in that regard. So we aren't awaiting a council decision on that. That the concerns were raised with the party representatives, and there's no new decision to be taken.
Okay. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a comment on this item and a few things that just Councillor Brown had said there, that, you know, it's a political decision has been taken. There is no political decision to be taken outside of the Alliance and Independence. The political decision taken lays within that, those two groupings alone. It's not for the SDLP, it's not for Sinn Féin, UUP or DUP to decide how they come and form a group. The terms of reference are very, very clear how you form a group. So the Alliance and Independence in the past had sat on the party reps by forming a grouping. They're unable to form a grouping themselves because the independents do not agree, many of the independents do not agree or fall under that heading of Alliance Independence. That's for Councillor Brown and those independents to discuss. And it's not a political football to be kicked about for us to make discussions of what independent members are aligned to Alliance policy and who's not. In delegated authority, we said at the emergency meeting, Councillor Brown was involved in the meetings for those 3 months. That was fair enough. When he was involved, there was very, very little input from Councillor Brown, but that's on a personal side. You can input as much or as little as you want into these two, into these meetings. What really worried me was the independents weren't updated. I know myself, and I know another Sinn Féin rep that had updated three of the independents that were not being updated by Patrick Brown being on that grouping. So we cannot have this story rehearsed every single time where Alliance can sit on one group as a part of Alliance Independent Forum, on another group as a part of Alliance on their own, and they don't have to update the independents. It's one or the other, and this is a political discussion that he is going to have to grapple with himself and come forward with a grouping of three under that heading that works. It's simply, we are not up for changing the terms of reference down to groupings of two. Because then you're going to have independent groupings of two that are aligned, so you could have three or four different groupings coming on here. And I mean, it's just plain politics. The only politics that's happening here is from Councillor Brown, and he needs to get a grip of it and sort it out himself. If he brings back, and the final comment, if he brings back any proposals that actually make sense and isn't about just getting headlines, we'll look at them. But this is not a decision for us to make. It's a decision for him to have discussions with the independents.
Okay. Councillor Brown, you made a proposal. Can I just check if you do have a seconder to that? Do we have a seconder to Councillor Brown's proposal that we hold off on the decision?
Seconding.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Henry, do you have a queue in? So I'll bring you in. Councillor Murray and Councillor Dornes, do you see that you have proposed second, but I have to take Councillor Brown's proposal signed by Councillor Enright first. So I'll take Councillor Enright's comments first, and then we'll go to a vote. Go ahead, Councillor Enright.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Pete Brown has changed his mind on this subject. He was instrumental in knocking down the very successful independent alliance group that pertained for the first 5 or 6 years of this council. That particular group's modus operandi was approved by council, and it provided for if three or more councillors wish to behave, become as part of a group to be represented on the party leaders group as a whole, they need only sign up to the memorandum of understanding. Now, at the time, it was understood that, for instance, Councillor Riley didn't want to be part of any group. So we left it open so the councillors could opt in or opt out of the group as they wished. And that policy and procedure was passed with support by all parties. Now, nothing's changed. I'm glad Pete has changed, because it's absolutely clear that myself, Jarlath, and the two alliance councillors wish to form a group. We wish to be represented by one person. And it's also equally clear that the other councillors may or may not wish us, but that is very much up to them. We can't force them to, nor was there any requirement in the original policy and procedure to force individual councillors who didn't want to be part of a group to be part of a group. So what I would suggest then is to take up Pete Byrne's offer and to allow myself, Jarlath, and the two alliance councillors to form a group, leaving it open to the new independent councillors should they so wish to join us. And I'd like that to be considered, and that's a reason for supporting Paddy Brown in pushing this forward so this can be resolved further, pretty much in line with what Peter was saying. We have a policy, we have a procedure, we have a proposal that fits with what Peter was saying, and I think that's it's something that the council should embrace, because clearly it's going to give greater effectiveness to the party leaders' meetings. Those who want to be represented by somebody can be represented. Thank you very much.
Okay. Can I just remind those that are in attendance that the instant messaging is only used for those symbols that were detailed at the part of this meeting. Those that are putting in comments just are deleting the tracking of such, and it causes difficulty enough. Sorry, the music there, but it sounds like. So yes, folks, if we can just keep the instant messaging to those letters rather than people going off in their own wee tangents, that would be greatly appreciated. I'm not going to bring in those that have put on queues at this point. What I'm going to do is put the proposal. The Councillor Brown has proposed that we hold off on making any decision on this, saying to put Councillor Enright to a vote. So if I can ask all SPNR members to vote on that proposal that we hold off in the instant messaging at this time, please. So either for
Chair, or... point of information first before you hold that vote.
Point of information. Yeah. What's the point of information?
Well, a point of information or whatever term you want to call it. You're asking us to vote on something that we've declared an interest in at the start. I want to clear up before anybody puts an F or an A in something that we have declared a conflict of interest at the start. Are we able to vote? I would think not.
Doreena, can you clarify that?
I suppose at this stage you're being asked to vote to delay consideration of this paper. So I would suggest you can all vote on that.
I would have no problem with everyone voting on it.
Okay. Just before everyone goes again, point of information must be, Councillor Enright, what's your point of information?
Chairperson, Charlotte just called me to confirm that he does want to be part of a group. I'm sorry, the phone rang whilst I was not mute, but that's what the call was.
Okay, it's fine. Obviously, if Councillor Tinley was here, that would be more useful. But again, folks, on the proposal of Councillor Brown that we hold off on making a decision on this paper, saying by Councillor Enright, if you can vote either for or against, please, in the instant messaging.
I have 2 for and 8 against.
Yeah, same, Sarah.
Okay, so that proposal has fallen. So I go back to Councillor Murray. You had a P in first, seconded by Councillor Dorn. Can you just clarify what that proposal was, Councillor Murray, please?
Yeah, it was the offer of the recommendation. Again, went through this as a party before the meeting. All the conversation that has taken place afterwards is for another day, I suggest. Like, you know, it's straightforward and we're voting for the officer's recommendation.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Dorn, you are seconding that?
I'll be seconding, Chair, yeah.
Okay. And Doreena, on this proposal and seconder, those that have declared an interest, are they able to vote?
Yes, we voted on it in the past, all committee members. It does have to be ratified by full council. Yes, the interest is declared for all of you. So if you all do wish to vote on it.
Chair, I had a queue there for question.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Walker.
No. I know there's been a proposer and seconder in relation to it. This was discussed twice at the group leaders in that, and I did say that I wasn't hung up whether the independent come on or not, but they would have to be all-inclusive in relation to speaking for everyone and speaking with one voice. In between the first and the second meeting, I know of two independents that wants nothing to do with it whatsoever. Now, that's not being all-inclusive. So when it come back to be discussed again, we've taken the decision that we would remain just the four main parties. You must have three members of a political party to sit on it. So you do. So that hasn't changed. You know, are you going to have one or two or three independents sitting on it as a group, and then the other few independents left out of it? And that, now I know one councillor has said that if, for example, a group like that's allowed on, he would actually challenge it. So he would, because he said, if other groups is coming on, I would legally, I think, be entitled to sit there because I have a mandate from the people. And that, but in saying that, there, I think the decision has been taken at group leaders, and when it does come to full council, I would say them parties will vote down them party lines. So they will, because the decision has already been taken.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Councillor Walker. And apologies for missing your cue there. Councillor Byrne, I did see you had another cue, and unless it's really vital, and Councillor Murray's.
It's not, Chair, it's just that my cue was in just to make the clarity on Cadogan spinning my words into saying that I'm allowing a group of theirs, or it's not in my remit to allow. I just don't want to entertain a paper coming in front of us that the SDLP have been asked to make a decision on half the independence and half the alliance. If they can speak for the grouping, that's fair enough. And when he goes back to the past, we're talking about one independent councillor who wasn't on the previous grouping. That was because he was elected under a party political, I think it was TUD or whatever. So, I mean, you can make it up and try and make it suit his narrative, but it's just spin.
Okay. All right, folks. We have proposal from Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Dorn, to go ahead with the officer's recommendation. If all SPNR members could vote in the instant messaging, and as clarified by Adriana, all members can vote.
Okay, we've 8-4 and 2 against.
Yeah.
Okay, so that proposal has passed. So thank you very much. We'll move on then to item number 6, which is the conditions of hire policy. And I believe Andy Patterson's taking that.
Yeah, Chair, hopefully my own connection's okay as well. I'll try and start my video here. Not much luck. My video's not working, but hopefully you can hear me okay. In terms of the condition of hire policy, so we have currently facilities across council that can be hired in normal circumstances. It includes the likes of arts centres, leisure facilities, community centres. They all have different terms and conditions around how they can be booked. So many of these sets of policies and procedures date back at least 7 or 8 years into legacy council. So I've convened an officer working group back. It was last year. We've been inputting into this from all sections. And importantly, there was a need to update safeguarding policies around the hire of council facilities. So it was an opportunity to bring everything up to date and to define a new policy with all of the up-to-date criteria included in there. And it sets out how council can book out its facilities now. So all the details are included in the paper, including the appendix 1 with the set of the condition of hire policy in there. So happy to take any questions, Chair.
Okay, all right. We have a proposal from Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Sharvin to accept the officer's recommendations. Is there any questions members have? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, I get hammered on this all the time, and especially by a group that used the community centre and crossed it then over the public or public liability insurance. I mean, people that had used it for years until it was the centre was done up at the community centre now have to hold a level of insurance to cover up to £10 million. And I know, you know, people that are using it one-off for a genealogy course or something like that, they say, for a couple of weeks for a genealogy course or something like that, would justify paying that. Those that are using it once a year can't. And I find it very hard to swallow on all of this. I agree with everything in the document, but I find it very hard to swallow where we're asking people to have that insurance and then us as councillors can use it for free, you know, for our clinics. So, you know, is there nothing we can do in all that? I know that if it falls under the remit of a community group or a charity, you know, but is there nothing that for people trying to hire out these buildings that they don't have to have this insurance cover, that they can fall under the council's insurance and so on. We've asked it when Liam Hannah is chief executive, and I asked it when Marie got in as well. It's pushing people out of using these centres that are meant to be community hubs. And I know the youth club across Midland has increased the bookings and the hirings for the facility from different groups because they cannot get the paperwork right to get into the community centres. So it's just something we need to look at going forward. We've done a whole lot of the community centres. It was raised and it hasn't been addressed.
Okay. Andy, you can come back in on that?
Yeah, Chair. I suppose it is the balance between indemnifying council when there are groups coming in. I suppose from my perspective, we would look at the likes of hiring of the arts centres, and if there are specific performances or productions coming in that offer some sort of risk, then they would have the appropriate insurance. So I completely take the point that when it's community centres that, you know, it's low risk activities and it's smaller groups, then, you know, the appropriate cover needs to be in place. I suppose the policy is setting out that there needs to be appropriate insurance in place. What the policy does is it doesn't go into each type of facility. So it leaves, following, if the policy is approved, each of the ADs that are responsible for the different types of facility will then look at the pricing schedule for each of those their facilities. We would look at, you know, specific arrangements with regards insurance and cover in that regard. So the policy is setting out the general terms and conditions the council will be governed by, or, you know, for booking out each type of facility, and then following this, then there'll be a specific piece of work done by, you know, looking at community centres specifically, looking at arts centres, and setting the appropriate pricing attached to that.
Okay, Jarena, you're looking in.
Yeah, I suppose the point that Councillor Byrne made, he's right, it has been raised numerous times before, and I know I've had many conversations with our insurers. And, you know, the advice that they're giving us as a council is that we really must have, you know, levels of insurance from the groups. My understanding from talking to them is, you know, the impact of us not requiring this would be to put our own premiums up very, very significantly, and to put any risk posed by those groups becomes a risk borne by council. And you'll know yourselves when you get into the world of insurance, they do see risks very, very. They put a quite a high risk on you carrying a high price on you carrying a third party risk. So the advice that we're getting from our insurers is that we shouldn't take on that risk, and that the third party should be charged appropriately for it. We can ask the question again. We can talk to them about it again. I know Janine Hillen, we pulled her into meetings with the insurers as well to talk specifically about community centres. And I believe Janine brought through, she has, you know, categorised sort of groups was the most that we could do on that, and categorised activities, working with our insurance company on that. We can ask again. I don't see us getting any further forward on it. I think it sort of is where it is now. But we'll take that away and have another discussion with them. We do meet with them regularly.
Okay. Thank you, Doreen. Councillor McKee. Councillor McKee, you may be on mute.
Talking to myself again, yeah. in relation to what Pete was saying there, thinking of what is supposed to happen with individuals like families, parents who very often hold wee birthday parties in those same facilities. And I've been there, I know it goes on, and sometimes then they use the benefit of using the bouncy castle that's within the main hall. Sure, they're not going to be insured, I couldn't imagine, so where do we go from there? Thank you.
Okay, I'll take Councillor Enright in, and then we'll get responses. Councillor Enright?
Thanks, Chairperson. Aside from the matter of requiring these groups to have insurance, there's also the issue that we seem to be looking for £10 million. Now, I recall about 2 or 3 years ago, the Department of Education raised the amount of insurance third-party groups needed to use school facilities from £1 million to £3 million. Not on any advised basis. Someone in the department thought it was a good idea at the time. And a lot of the extracurricular activities in local schools were killed off by raising the price from £1 million to £3 million, because £3 million was very expensive for small local groups or voluntary groups to put on activities in local schools. So if £3 million proved too expensive for local groups, it was too difficult for them to get. £10 million certainly is going to be too difficult for them to get. So, you know, the notion of plucking a figure from the air, as long as it's a large one, and imposing it on local groups isn't practical. There's not a lot of individual groups, community associations, etc., that don't have insurance. They don't do anything, and it needs to be insured other than have meetings. So I'm just concerned that, first of all, we're doing this and imposing one of our costs on them. And then secondly, plucking such a very large figure, they're not even the Department of Education. In fact, it's more than three times the amount that the Department of Education is looking for, and that is being strongly resisted by local groups as well.
Okay. Andy, if you don't mind coming in on Councillor McKee's question around the birthday parties, and then Councillor Enright's question around the £10 million that is mentioned under 18.2.
So I suppose for the hire of, you know, a council space for a birthday party, that would be the council's liability insurance that would cover that activity. If there's inflatables involved that somebody else is bringing into council property, there is a policy and procedure around that to look at the health and safety conditions in terms of that. And then so hopefully that answers Councillor McKee's question. Just on the insurance issue, that sum of £10 million, certainly I know from the facilities that I would be responsible for, that is the sum that we would require in terms of public liability insurance. I suppose in terms of the community centres, I you know, presume from our insurance side, our insurance cover, that is the level of cover that we have been that we're required to ask for.
Okay.
Perhaps Doreena maybe is.
Yeah. If I could just come in there, Chair, if you don't mind, Andy's exactly right. The level of public liability insurance is as advised to us by our insurers. And I suppose for the record, I do need to say very strongly, there is no, just in picking up some of the points that Councillor Enright has made, officials are not making up figures, and we are not plucking figures from the air. These are figures as advised to us by our insurers.
Okay. All right, Councillor McKee, you're looking back in.
Yeah, just on that point, I have a notion that the one.
Councillor Walker was me.
On my screen, it is Councillor McKee.
I'm in just ahead of you, William. I think the one in Kilkeel, the Bounty Castle in Kilkeel, I believe the Kilkeel Leisure Centre belongs to the council. As far as I'm aware, I don't think anyone else brings in a Bounty Castle, so I'm sure it would be covered by council's own insurance, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be the case. Yeah.
Sure.
I do
sympathise and understand where the council's coming from here in relation to this. Now, I'll use the Bridge Centre for an example. We run a fun day there every year at the Bridge Centre. Now, any activity inside the Bridge Centre is covered by the council's insurance. We run a number of events outside and that and bring outside entertainers and that. We have to get our own liability insurance, and we go to Harry and Company in Bangor to get that insurance. We're told that we need to insure for a minimum of 10 million. So we do. Now, that's the insurance company telling us that for that one day. Now, I do know in the past there at the Bridge Centre over the years, things were being run and groups like our own group didn't get insurance. I know that the council had to sort out a lot of money and two or three claims where there was injury claims went in and that. So I do understand where the local authorities coming from and that, you know, in relation to the insurance. So, you know, to be honest, you know, we got that liability insurance and we got it for the day for 100, I think it was 120, 130 pounds. So it was in relation to our insurance for the 10 million. But we weren't told and informed by our insurance company that we were going to, you know, they were advising that it's for 10 million.
Okay.
So it is. So I do understand where the council, and I would agree with the officer there. I don't think it is figures that they're plucking out of the sky, because when we went to get the insurance, we were told that.
All right, thank you, Councillor Roth. Michael, you were looking in.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just a bit of clarity to pick up on Councillor McKee's point. Yeah, in ours, there's different insurance requirements and different requirements dependent on which building it is. As you'll know, there are three different models that we use in community, on the community side of the house, and then you have the leisure centres as well, which is another model. But basically, anywhere where there are council staff present and it's a council-owned facility, a bouncy castle or whatever it is, then you don't need your insurance, as Councillor Walker has said. It is where you bring something else in of your own, or you've hired it out and you're a group, that you need to get insurance, because the council can't cover that. So that's a couple of aspects. Then there's those centres which aren't staffed by council staff, and which are run by community associations, and they need to have their own insurance for any activities that they're carrying out. And the level we've been asked to get by our insurers is 10 million. So there's at least three different models, and there's probably another one where we have service level agreements with groups that own their own centres and are also paid by the council to run certain activities, and they need their own insurance as well. So I hope that explains it slightly. What we have to understand here is children have died on bouncy castles at birthday parties, and that has happened recently. And there have been a number of really sad incidents, and these things are really dangerous. And accordingly, they're really difficult to insure. And the council, we have been trying to get out of the business of running birthday parties in our centres because of the insurance risks that and costs that we have associated with it. If we're having a bouncy castle in one of our facilities, you need two staff members on at all times. So that becomes horrendously expensive. So the alternative to the groups getting own insurance is that we staff it and we put two staff members in, and that we have full cost recovery on that, which will be as expensive as trying to get insurance for that one day, I would suspect.
All right. Thank you for that, Michael. Folks, we have a proposer from Councillor Murray saying by myself to accept the policy as detailed in the paper. Are we all in agreement with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then items 7, 8, 9 and 10 are for noting, and I would just like to mention in particular item number 8 and acknowledge the great work that our marketing teams, our communication marketing teams have undertaken, especially during COVID, and the over 770,000 people being reached from our 20 digital campaigns, 234 Facebook posts and 194 tweets. It's fantastic to see how far outreaching we are connecting to the region, the nation, and to the world. So just wanted to acknowledge that particular item. Is there any matters arising that members had in relation to items 7 to 10? No? Okay, folks. The following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 1 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to an individual and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Can I have a proposer and seconder to go into committee, please? Sarah, keep me right. Councillor yeah. Walker's first on my screen. Is that Councillor, right?
Councillor Brian's first on mine. And Councillor
okay.
Walker second.
Okay, Councillor Brian proposed, seconded by Councillor Walker. And Sarah, you tell me we're good to go. Okay, folks.
Yeah. So,
just need to whiz back up to the start here. And right, okay. So, just while we were in committee, the following items were considered. Item 11, proposed lease of lands at Kilbrony Ross Trevor. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor McKee. The elected members agreed to accede to the Centre's request and agreed to lease the lands for 20 years at a peppercorn rent, subject to the Centre discharging Council's valuation and legal fees, and also subject to the updated departmental consent. Item 12, the request to surrender lease in respect of Units 1 and 8 McGrath House, Market Street, Newry, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, that elected members agree to accede to Mr. McAteer's request and agree to surrender the lease without penalty, subject to Mr. McAteer paying all rent. See you for April, May, until the date of the surrender and reinstating the premises in accordance with the terms of the lease. Item 13, resources required for the implementation of Northern Ireland Protocol for EU exit. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Brown, to approve the following recommendations. The 3.5 FTEs environmental health officers are recruited as detailed in the officer's report. Once further work is completed on establishing shift patterns and cover required, further environmental health officers and supervisory roles may be recruited to meet the demands of the new service. A new temporary senior lead environmental health officer post is created from within existing staff to allow this work and that relating to export controls and approved premises to be managed. To ensure adequate cover is available, environmental health officers should be offered the opportunity to volunteer through expressions of interest to work shifts at the border control post on completion of required training program. Item 14, St. Patrick's Day events costs. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. The Council pays invoices to specified suppliers totaling $58,300 in relation to outstanding payments for St. Patrick's Day 2020 event costs, and a claim is submitted to the Executive Office in relation to eligible costs. Item 15, reopening of museums. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Hammond, that the Council's two museums remain closed and assessment is undertaken again in September 2020 to consider reopening the museums. Item 16, Moran Gateway Project, Belfast Region City Deal Outline Business Case. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Dorn, that members agree to progress the outlying business case for the Moran's Gateway project for submission to the next stage of consideration in the Belfast Region City Deal Programme. And item 17, tender for the Council's statutory advertising. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Byrne, that members agree to proceed with option 2 as detailed in the business case, namely to issue a tender for Council statutory advertising. And item 18 was for noting Newry Leisure Centre HIPCAF licence agreement. It was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. Members, thank you very much for attending this afternoon. I appreciate your cooperation. And I wish you all a happy evening and catch up with you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, Chair.